Hello. Welcome to Live Well Lifestyle with Terry A. This is our monthly time to talk about life and how we can skip through it and make it better and easier and more fun. Happy Valentine's Day to everyone, and I send you love and happy thoughts. You know, last month we talked about the get to versus got to or have to. And I woke up this morning and I thought, wow, I get to go exercise this morning and I get to be with my friends on the Live Well Lifestyle show today. I've got a lot of compliments on get to and have to, and so it seemed to ring a bell with people. And you know, I forget from time to time, so most of my subjects are about me, things that I need to improve myself, and I just kind of brought them out, look at them, and share them with y'all. And the topic today is helping others by aligning with their success. So what does that mean? So my intention is to help by believing in others rather than enabling or fixing. There are two different kinds of helping. We can do it for somebody, or you can be a teacher and guide them to doing it. When you are feeling discomfort from seeing other people in a lackful or needy situation, you decide to help them from your place of discomfort, and no lasting value ever occurs. For two important reasons. First, you're not aligned with your own energy or your source, and so you have no real value to give. And second, your attention on their need only amplifies their lack and their need. So when you offer awareness of their situation, when your awareness of their situation makes you uncomfortable and you offer to help them to make them feel better and to make yourself feel better, you're not helping. That's what's called pity. What would it take for you to believe that they can manage their situation on their own? When we jump in to lend a helping hand by fixing it for them, we're not letting them learn how to handle life and are giving them a false sense of security. The next obstacle comes and they think the only way out is for someone to fix it for them. They have developed no confidence in their abilities, and if they have not faced a few no's and a few doors shut on their greatest desires, they have not learned how to be creative, to work hard, and to find another way. Think of a time when you really wanted something and you didn't know how to get it. But through all the obstacles, some imagined and some real, you never gave up on your dream. Then one day, everything fell into place and it happened. Sometimes the best way to help people in a situation is to encourage them to keep trying. Believe they can find another way. The word no doesn't mean you can't have what you want. It just means that that person you're asking or the direction you're taking is not the pathway or your source of supply. You know, when I think of little children, we help them learn to tie their shoes. Do you remember when you helped your children to learn to tie their shoes and how frustrating it was as they sat there and they fumbled with their little fingers, not quite so agile, and they kind of made a little ball of yarn instead of a bow tie? And often I would, as a mother, jump in and say, here, let me do it for you today. We're in a hurry. And I would just do it and wouldn't give them the time to practice. But if you'll be patient and say, you know, that's a pretty good first attempt. You should have seen my first attempt. It looked worse than that. Let's try it again. And the more you try, the easier it'll become, and finally your fingers will know how to move and to tie that bow with ease. And would you like me to tie mine beside you so you can see how I'm doing it and we can do it together? Wouldn't that be more helpful than, here, let me do it for you. I'm quicker. You don't have it right. That's kind of a put down, and then they get discouraged and don't want to try. So, when we can be patient and teach rather than do it for them, to be a teacher or a guide. And oftentimes we can help others by seeing them as if they can achieve their own goals without help on their own, and to encourage them verbally. Now, when I thought of a time when I wanted something, when I was little growing up, I wanted a horse. I wanted a horse so bad. I was one of those little girls that read all the horse books and just thought I would die if I'd never had a horse. And my parents couldn't afford a horse. We lived in the city. There wasn't any way to keep one, on and on and on. But I would go in the summertime by my godmother, and they had a barn full of horses. And one day this young colt was born, and I went out. I was the first person to touch him. I mean, he was there in the lot with his mother, and I kept talking to him, and he came over out of curiosity, and he let me pet him through the fence. And I told my godmother about it, and I said, could I have him and raise him? Knowing he was just a baby and it would be years before he'd be big enough for me to ride. And she said, why don't I just give you Lillian? And Lillian was the name I didn't like. It didn't fit her. She was a beautiful white mare. They had two white mares they used kind of for parade horses, and they were mother and daughter. And they had long manes and tails and everything. And she said, we can keep her out here, and she's yours, and you can come and ride her whenever you want. And I was thrilled. I never dreamed I would get Lillian, and she was the horse that I would ride when I was out there. So, well, that it didn't take money. It didn't take having a place to take. It just took asking. Something as simple as that, the universe supports you. And there were other times I remembered where I want something and I thought, well, there's no way I can have it. But I didn't give up on wanting it. I still had that burning desire, and eventually it happened. And I bet if each of you think about a time when there was something you wanted, you found a way to get there, and eventually it came to you. It may not have been instantly, but still it happened. And when those moments happen, there's so much greater than if someone had just given you your answer right away and you didn't have that yearning. That yearning is what I call poo. Piglet and Winnie the Pooh were walking one day, and Piglet looked at Pooh and said, Pooh, what's the best thing in the world for you? And Pooh said, you know, I'd have to think about that a little while. And he thought, and he said, you know, eating honey is very, very good, but that moment just before you eat it is even better. And that's what I call the poo moment, the moment of anticipation before. So many times we want things and we get so much and then we're bored. What do we want next? What is there that we can strive for next? What is our next goal? So don't worry if someone is slow in getting to where they're the top of the mountain they're climbing. Just encourage them verbally. Believe with them. Believe for them that they can achieve it. And you will be the best friend in the world. Without confidence, we were talking about people who give up, don't have confidence, or get things given to them, don't have the confidence to do it on their own. Without confidence, we don't trust our ability to make decisions. If you've ever seen people that have a hard time making a decision is not etched in blood in most cases. It's something, okay, I can take this road or I can take that road. If I don't like this one, I can go back and get the other one. So, confidence comes from practicing and being willing to make mistakes so you can learn what does work. By focusing on the end results, you can take your mind off the negative talk. So when you're focusing on the goal, you don't have time for the negative talk to get in and put you down. Relax, breathe, focus, and feel what it feels like to achieve regardless of the odds. That's confidence. That's inner knowing. And you've seen so many little kids playing football, and they may be too short, and they say, well, you'll never be able to play college football because you're too short. But every pro team out there has a short guy, and he may be speedy quick, but he has a talent and a gift that makes a difference to that team. So never take no for an answer, and don't let anything be an obstacle to finding another way to be a supportive member of a team. When you step into the fixing role, you rob them of that opportunity to be their own creative problem solver. All you really need to do is trust them that they can figure out the correct solution. Believe in them and say, you know, you're smart enough to figure this out, and I believe in you. You can do this. When you feel an inspired eagerness to offer something because you want to participate in their happiness or their success process, your attention to their success harmonizes with the point of view of your source and the infinite resources of the universe. It's like the magical weaving. I think they're angels out there bringing thoughts and things together. And that does help. So encouraging people verbally. Now, here I had my whole program written up, and all of a sudden, last night, I got an email from a Clay customer who sent me this copy to go and see, and it was called Napkin Notes Dad. And I looked at it, and it was a video, and it was talking about this dad. He was a single dad. He had cancer. And every day he packed his daughter's lunch, and he would write a short note on a napkin and put it in her lunchbox. She was kind of young at this time, and she would say, "You are awesome. Smile at someone today." Or, "You are very much loved. You're kind. You're loving. I love you, Dad." But he would write all these little notes, and for the longest, he didn't sign them. He just put the notes in. And one morning, he hadn't gotten his note written, and he was making her lunch. And she was watching, and she connected the dots. And she said, "I want my napkin note," because he was sitting there with a blank napkin. So he quickly wrote one and stuck it in there, and she had connected the dots and figured out. Well, he has had a battle with kidney cancer. He's on his fourth round. It has come back several times, and he has these napkin notes he's written ahead of time, and he has enough written for her till she graduates from college or high school. You can go in and look up Napkin Notes Dad, and they made a little book, but I'm going to read some of these to you, and this is how you can really support people if you want to help them. Send them a little note anonymously. I've started doing this. My grandson, I'm mailing him little notes every day, and I'm going to make some up on the computer and cut them into strips and fold them up and go over to his house and stick them in his socks, so every morning when he gets his socks out, he'll have another note. You can be real creative about how you hide them. One of them says, "The world is full of nice people. If you can't find one, be one." Isn't that lovely? And oftentimes he uses other people's quotes and he gives credit to them. Here's one. "I had the game-winning shot and missed. I have failed over and over again in my life, and that is why I win." Michael Jordan, the basketball player. You don't just throw the ball once and expect it to go in every time. One note said, "Number one, wake up. Number two, be awesome. Number three, repeat." Aren't those delightful? I just love what this dad has done. And he shared this. He did a TED Talk. You can see him online. And if you just Google Napkin Note Dad, you can find this and find a way to be very supportive of people. When we know somebody is down and having problems and they're complaining, it's so human nature to go in and fix. And if you ever had people that, you know, that have a problem and you'd make a suggestion, but they always had a comeback for why that wouldn't work, well, they're enjoying wallowing in their murk. And instead of offering suggestions that you think would fix their problem, just say, "You know what, you're a very intelligent person. I know you can figure this out, and you're going to figure out how to get back to your happy place and how to take care of this situation, because you have good values, good morals, and you're a good person. You have a wonderful heart. So good things will come to you. The other day I was in the store waiting in the line, and I only picked up a few things, so I was in the short line, and there were two teenage boys in front of me, and they had a gift card and a credit card, and they had milk, and it wasn't beer. They had just some food, not very much. And they were trying to run this gift card, and it wasn't taking. And they were getting panicked, and evidently they didn't have enough money in the bank account, or they couldn't use it unless they checked with the persons whose card it was that they were getting the groceries for. And they were trying to call, and they didn't answer, and they were standing there, and they kept swiping the card again and again, and of course it didn't work. And I heard them say $17 and something, so I reached in my pocket, and I got $20, and I said, "Here, will this take care of it?" And they turned around, and just their jaw dropped, and the young boy said, "Oh, thank you so much." He said, "Do you want the change back?" And I said, "No, you just pass it forward. It'll come back to me in its own time." And he looked at me, and he said, "God bless you. You're an angel." And I said, I'm just a person who's been there, done that, and I'm passing it forward. And you have a good day." And I felt so good having made that gesture. I felt thankful that I had an extra 20 in my pocket to give them, you know, and that I don't have to live on that borderline with a credit card each month. And one of the, another quote that the dad had was, "Don't let the fear of what could happen make nothing happen. So don't let fear stop you." And the one that I really, really love is, "Let us be thankful for the problems that we don't have. There's always someone else with a bigger problem. So let us be thankful for the problems that we don't have. We may not have everything we want yet, and we get everything we want, it may be boring. So find a way to make life happy, and usually it's by being of service, but not by enabling and fixing. There's so many other ways to do this." And I talk about this subject because guess who was the big enabler? Yes. To my children growing up, to my alcoholic husband, I got my hands in their stuff way too much. I should have let them have their choices and consequences and help them in different ways. So I'm going to go over to the phone lines and see if we have any questions. If you'll press *2 on the phone if you have something you want to discuss, or maybe something you noticed if you were with us last time on how the Get To, Got To exercise to help you. If you'll press *2 on your phone, it'll open your line, and we can chat a minute. And I want to thank Janet Frank, who sent me that email. I just love it when the answer I'm looking for falls into my lap. And I encourage every one of you to go online and look up Napkin Dad and Napkin Note Dad. It's a beautiful story of a dad who wanted to build his daughter up and let her know how special she was and how loved she was, or she is. And there's a picture of the mom and the dad. I'm assuming he's a single dad, but there's no reference to the mother in the story. And it's a beautiful story and a beautiful gift he's giving everybody. It's an idea everyone can do. My daughter is a kindergarten teacher, and I remember when I used to teach school, I would write, at the end of the week, I would write what I saw people doing that that I admired something they were doing. There was one little boy that was able to focus. And I found out later he was one of 17 kids, and he came to school. Every other day he had the same clothes on, but they were clean. But he could sit down and he could focus, and it was like he was the only one there. Nothing distracted him. But I guess if you lived in a big house with lots of people, you would learn how to shut yourself off mentally and have your own peace, and that's what he did. And I had another one who had a hard time coming to school, a hard time getting on with people, but I noticed that he was good in math, and so I wrote and I said, "You're excellent in math. You do math very well. You have a good mind, but you don't come to school often enough," and it took a while before I could find what your strength was. And I asked him why, and he said, "Because my dad makes me." Because he was made to go to school, he would just come up with an excuse not to go and just sit on the couch all day and do nothing. It was just resistance. They had a war going on, which was so sad. But I loved doing that at the end of the day, just typing a little note and cutting it up and giving it to them as they left school. So how can you make a note, a napkin note, or do something to give someone a lift and to help them during the day? And I promise you, you can't outgive the universe. When you give from your heart with the intention of supporting and helping them get to their own place, learning how to make choices and consequences and find solutions, it is so rewarding. And I can't outgive the universe. That's all I can say, is I really have a hard time outgiving the universe. Well, it looks like no one has any questions to say. And here's another one of them. When writing the story of your life, don't let anyone else hold the pen. Don't you love it? When writing the story of your life, don't let anyone else hold the pen. It's your life. You're different. You're unique. Each of us are. We have different gifts and talents. What may work for some may not work for others, so sometimes our advice when we're fixing isn't really wanted. And you have to ask, too, when you're helping someone, did they ask for help? Do they want help? Sometimes we interfere out of the goodness of our heart, thinking we can make their life easier. And there again, we're coming from the wrong place. I drew a can-do card, and it said, "For every problem that I may create, I am confident that I can find a solution. Life supports me in every way possible." I love that. And a closing thought for today is, mental support is more valuable than gold. Having someone believe for you is worth all of the material things in life. And I've started writing some notes for my grandson, and I suggest you keep a copy of them because you forget kind of what you wrote. And one thing I wrote is, success isn't just what you've accomplished or what you own or you possess. It's how you feel inside. It's that inner knowing. When you're confident, you have that inner knowing, and it gives you strength beyond what you think you can do. It's believing in yourself, and that's when you need to shut out. I'm going to give a little exercise here. I was talking about staying focused on the goal, on your desire, and not on the negative self-talk. I go to an exercise class twice a week, and quarterly we have a exercise test sort of, and to see how well you've come, how far you've come since the first time you started. So it was quarterly test doing. They're kind of grueling, and one of them was to stand on one foot and hold the other foot up to your leg and just balance on one foot. My balance at 76 isn't that good, and this is one that I really don't enjoy that much. And I noticed I was dreading it, and when I started doing it, I looked up, and my car was parked right in front of me outside, and I could focus on the little decal on the front of the car, the little Toyota logo, and I mentally had a rope from there, and I was holding on to that rope, and I just focused on the car. I didn't think about my hip. I didn't think about if I was wobbly or what. And I was able to do it on 1 foot for 3 minutes, which was maxing out, and the other one for over 2 minutes. So that's how you close out the negative and the fear. You focus on the goal. And I had a lifeline to that car, and in my mind it was supporting me. So there are any number of ways that you can cut out the negative self-talk. I hope today has been beneficial to you. I'm going to go back once more and see if we have anyone on the line who would make a comment, would like to make a comment. Press star 2 on your phone. And I'm going to go one more time and see if there are any questions pertaining to the day. And I don't see any questions coming in. But all right, let's see on the calendar. Next week on the 19th, we have the Living Clay teleseminar where we will talk about clay and answer the questions on clay. And in the meantime, I hope you have a very, very happy Valentine's Day. And be a smile for someone you don't know. Give a smile to a stranger today. See if you can outgive the universe and just watch it come back to you. This is Perrier. I'm signing out about 3 minutes early, but I'm about talked out. I don't want to wear you out. Think about who you could send little notes to. One a week. It doesn't have to be every day. Just something uplifting to somebody. Or just hide it in their coat pocket, or sometime they'll reach in and find it. So be creative and spread some joy today. Enjoy your Valentine's Day and know that you're loved and you're very special. This is Perrier signing out.